Ramon, come on up. While you're already up, just we'll move on this way. We got a terrific treat tonight. Ramon's back from his summer journeys, and so we ask him to break the bread of life for us tonight, and we're just going to have a little feast right now.
Let's go before the Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just ask you to fill my mind, fill my heart, touch my lips, Lord Jesus, with your words. Lord, I ask you to bless everyone in the hearing of this word. Lord, we're just thankful for your presence. We're thankful for who you are. We claim these wonderful, gracious gifts you pour onto us by your name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Okay. I've been gone a while. Over the last few months, the Lord has taught me a few things, actually a lot of things. And one of the things I've learned is we never stop learning, no matter what age you are. I'm 53 years old. I'm learning. I bet you Mrs. Scott is learning. And, you know, the one thing the Lord has showed me is we learn by sometimes advice, and sometimes we learn by example. And I learned a lot. Actually, we were living in Ohio the whole month of June, and I learned about cattle. That sounds kind of weird, isn't it? I learned about cows and bulls, and I never did. I grew up in a city, so I never knew anything about these large animals. I liked them, but I didn't know anything about them. We actually were living in Melissa's grandparents' family. Well, it was their family farm. It's been in the family for 100 years. It's not a big one, 100 acres. Her dad farms the corn, wheat, beans, and her cousin raises cattle. And that's where I learned about cattle. First day we got there, I asked her cousin. I said, is it like okay if I like walk in the field? And she's like, oh yeah, no problem. So I did. First morning I woke up, I start walking through the field. And all of a sudden, they start looking at me, all of them. And they didn't do like the moo. They were like, hurr! It's like, oh, I don't know if I like that. And I even had the camera. I caught this on video. And all of them start looking at me. And then not just that, have you ever seen a cow do this? They really do it. And they start going. And I was like, okay. I took a video, and you know what I did? I climbed up on Melissa's dad's combine. It was in the middle of the field. And they all passed by, and they were doing their, and they weren't happy at me. First day. That was the first day. So I learned something. The next couple days, I'd bring these giant containers of silage, try to be their friend. I do that to the inmates in Mexico. I bring candy. They like me. So I was kind of like their friend, but I'm going to fast forward. So, like I said, we were there for a month. And about halfway between, some cowboys came. There are cowboys in Ohio. And they came to trim the hooves of the cattle. And you know what I did? I watched them. They thought I was kind of weird. They're like, don't you guys have cattle in Arizona? I said, yeah, but I don't have them. And I was just watching them. And there was these three guys, and they moved the whole herd through and did their little pedicure. And one of the things I watched them do is they have these poles. Pastor Calvin probably knows what they're called, sorting poles. They're made of fiberglass. They're about 5 feet long. And they got a rubber handle. And I was watching these guys just move these large animals. And if you didn't know, they're big animals. The females weigh 1,200 pounds, more or less. The bulls, the steers weigh 2,000 pounds. That's a ton. And they're muscle. And, you know, none of us is going to, like, out-arm wrestle one of these things. They're big. Okay, so I was watching these guys, and I was like, oh, okay, that's good. Fast forward, one of the last days we're there. Me and Melissa were in bed in the morning. She wakes me up. She says, the cows are loose. And I'm like, what? And I run over, and I pull up the window shade, And there goes a bull down the driveway. So I went and got dressed real quick, put my boots on, and you know what I did? I went to the barn and got one of them sorting poles. And I ran down the street because, you know, loose cattle is bad. You know, people hit them with, it's just bad. So I ran down, and guess who I caught up with was the bull. You know how you know what a bull looks like? At least in her herd, they put a ring through the nose, and it's not jewelry. So I ran through this field, I'm in the street, and there's no combines to climb up on. All I'm looking at is this bull, and he's looking at me, and he's not too happy. He's going, and we're like face to face. And you know what I did? I took that sorting pole, and I stuck him right in the face, and he didn't like it. He didn't like it so much, he said, I'll go back to the corral with you. And he did. And half hour later, long story, but me and Melissa put the first cow and the bull and the cow together through the corral, and then the other, after the other ones were eating her dad's corn, we got the other four back in there. So I learned something. By example, her cousin gave me advice. She grew up, you know, these cows are like pets to her, so they like follow her around like a herd of puppies. They really do. Melissa has a story if you don't believe me. They follow around like puppy dogs. But when I showed up, they didn't like me. So her advice didn't work for me. The example I watched, the cowboys, oh, that worked for me. I even saw, you can buy these sorting poles in Tractor Supply here in Douglas. I went and checked. So, okay. So, I learned certain things by advice. I learned certain things by example. I read something in the Faith newsletter I really liked. I never met your dad, but I know I'm going to meet him and really like him. But in the newsletter, I remember reading about Pastor Calvin's dad, anytime people would come to the door, he would ask them, do you preach the gospel like Paul? I like that because you know what? The cults don't preach the gospel like Paul. So I'm going to take Pastor Calvin's dad's advice. I'm going to preach the gospel like Paul. Okay? That's what I'm going to do. There's been something, actually, I taught this in Mexico earlier this week. Melissa gets to hear it in English now. The title of this message is Flee from Idolatry. Flee from Idolatry. And I think most of you guys know when I preach in Mexico, I ask questions because I want to make sure they know when I'm... I don't speak super good Spanish, so I want to make sure they understand me. So I always ask questions. First question I ask them is, what is an idol? And you know, there's a guy, he stood right up, and he gave me an answer. He said, oh, these are the images that we bow down to, and he gave the details. And I was like, yeah, that's an idol. And I said, are there any other things that are idols? And they were a little confused because they had this in their mind. Oh, that's an idol. And I told them, an idol is actually bigger than that. It's anything in between you and God can be an idol. I've seen good things become idols. I've seen the images, but I'm going to teach today about flee from idolatry. A lot of us here are probably saying, doesn't apply to me. I don't have those little images at my house, but these idols, they do creep in. I've seen it in my own life. I've even confessed it to the inmates in Mexico. So I'm going to take you to a place, again, I want to preach like Paul, so I'm going to take you where Paul, by the authority of the Holy Spirit, wrote. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Now, this is going to go fast because I want to keep on schedule. I've got several places I want to take you to, but I really feel we got to know what idolatry is. And I it's kind of a weird thing. Why would you think I would pick that today? Because I'm seeing some demonic activity is on the rise. Are you guys seeing it? I'm seeing it. And I'm going to say this, Pastor Calvin is the best pastor I've ever met. When he preaches a sermon thinking that he has low self-esteem, I'm going to say that's an attack of the enemy. And that's an attack of the enemy, and one of the best pastor I've ever met. So I'm going to take you to 1 Corinthians 10, because we got to know what is idolatry. Okay, we're going to start in verse 1. I'm going to fly through this really, really fast, because I want to take you to an example. Do you remember the example of the cowboys with the stick? That worked. I'm going to show you where Paul took this, and it worked. Okay, let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. And again, I'm going to fly through this. It's going to go really, really quick. Okay, verse 1. I'm reading from the New King James. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." I'm going to stop there. That's big. When the Israelites crossed out of Egypt, that's symbolic of salvation. When we confessed the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we went from the land of the dead to the land of the living. Huge. And, okay, so I'm going to pick up again. Verse 5, and I'm going to blow through this. Someone else could preach tons of sermons on just this section. Verse 5 says, "But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness." When I hear that, I pay attention. He's saying most of them, God's people, he wasn't pleased with. I pay attention because that might be me. I want to be pleasing to God. I don't want to get to the end of this race and have my Lord be disappointed with me. I just don't. Okay, so, and what happened? Their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. That's death. Okay, verse 6. "Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted." You can hear this word again multiple times. Examples, examples, examples. I'm reading through Proverbs in the morning. There's a lot of good advice, but sometimes I just need an example. I need to have, like I said, like those cowboys doing that. I just need to see someone do it. So here it says, this stuff happened to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. We're going to get some examples. Okay. Verse 7. "And not become idolaters as some of them were." Did you catch that? Idolaters, people who practice idolatry. "As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play." You can do the research, but he's talking about the golden calf. Verse 8, "Now let us not commit sexual immorality as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell." Okay, that's in numbers, when the Moabite women fornicated with the Israelites. Verse 9, "Nor let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents." Exodus 17, Numbers 21. You can do the research. This is all stuff that happened to God's people. So when I read this, this tells me, can idolatry happen to God's people? I'm going to tell you, yeah, it can. Okay, so let's look at verse 11. "Now all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. That's us. Did that say end times? It may as well have said end times. That's where we're at right now. We're waiting for the Lord's return. These things happen, why? As examples. Okay? Verse 12. Now therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. I take that as a warning. Any of us can fall. I've seen some of the greatest Christian leaders fall. I've been a believer for, I always get it wrong, 27, a long time. I've seen great people fall. Okay? This is a warning. Take heed. Okay, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Yeah, God's good. He doesn't lead us into a train wreck and just sit back and just watch us turn into carnage. He doesn't do that to us. The temptations, yeah, they're there, but he always gives us that way out. Okay? Kind of like when I climbed up on that combine. That was my way out. Okay? So, I look at verse 14. Isn't this interesting? After all what we just read, he says, therefore, so therefore means everything before, pay attention, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. He's talking, you know, when you read 1 Corinthians, Paul's writing to believers. He's writing to the church. He's telling you, he's telling me, flee from this stuff. Okay? And now, one of the things I love about Paul is he doesn't leave you hanging with ideas. He's a nuts and bolts guy. He does. He went through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he gives you stuff that you can hold on to and say, that is something I can use. That is something I can hang on to. So look at verse 15. I speak as to wise men. Judge for yourselves what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? I've heard a lot of this used in, he's talking about communion. But it's communion is it's a Greek word, koinonia. It's more than just something, a service. It's participation. It's a bond. It's a fellowship that is so deep. You know, when my brother Diego leaves, I mean, we're still brothers, even though you're going to be in McAllen, Texas. We have a bond of koinonia that the world can't understand at all. So here he says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Look at verse 17. For we, though many, are one bread and one body. We all partake of that one bread. There is a union. There is a fellowship in God's people that doesn't exist anywhere else. Anywhere else. I've had friends come and go. I've had Christian friends that I can't let go. When we went back to Ohio, there was people I had to see because they moved away. So we looked them up. We kind of took us a while to get to Ohio, but there is a bond between God's people. And it's beyond what the world can understand. Look at verse 17. For we, though many, are one bread and one body. We all partake of that one bread. We partake. That's a deep word. I'm sorry, I didn't look it up. I'll take that as a homework assignment. I will look that up. Verse 18 says, observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? You know, when in the Old Testament, in the Torah, in the law, when they were to give these sacrifices, it wasn't just, you know, here it is, take it. The person who gave it got to partake of it. It was a communion. You know what's fascinating? I loved what happened Sunday. When God's people eat together, it's one of the most beautiful thing. And the early church knew this. They did it too. But when we eat the same food, that food that's nourishing me is nourishing you. And it is a oneness that is going on. It's beautiful. It's a communion. That's exactly it. Observe Israel after the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Verse 19. What am I saying then? That an idol is anything? Or what is offered to idols is anything? He keeps coming back to this idol thing. Do you see this? This is not something that I'm making up. Paul's putting in writing. He's saying, you know, what's an idol? I ask the inmates, what's an idol? But look what he says. What is offered to idols is anything? He answers the question of verse 20. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. There are Christians who don't believe demons exist. I know they do. I was face to face with a demon possessed guy Monday. So what does it say? Things offered to idols are offered to demons. 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 If you can't see, if you read the news, do you realize a lot of, I read in the news just this week, they were, you know, the young guy who killed the students at Parkland, Florida. I don't know if you read that news, but he said, he gave testimony, I have demons. They speak to me. Do you think he's making it up? I don't think he's making it up, because I've seen people who have demons that speak through them. So again, Paul, remember, nuts and bolts Paul. This is a very well-educated man. This is a very experienced man. He's traveled lots of different places, seen lots of different things, and he keeps talking about these idols and saying, what they sacrifice to idols are sacrificing to demons. And remember what I said, an idol isn't just those little images that when you see, you know, when you drive in Mexico, you see them on the sides or people's houses or sides of roads. It's more than that. It's anything that comes between you and God. I gave an example of idolatry that the inmates just took. Okay? So everyone knows my wife Melissa is sitting right here. Not everyone knows that this year, this June, we celebrated 30 years of marriage. Okay? I gave an example for the inmates, and she was with me too. I said, okay, if I'm walking with my wife of 30 years, and I turn my head and I start checking out other women, do I really love my wife? The answer is no, I love myself. I'm feeding an idol of self. You know, all this other stuff, people put things in boxes. I don't. Paul doesn't. You know, this whole thing on pornography, that's idolatry. Sexual morality, I have scriptures I can show you. If you can write this down. If you look at Colossians 3, verse 5, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. It's idolatry. You know, the world tries putting these things with these nice little labels. Paul doesn't. He says that's idolatry. When we commit idolatry, we sacrifice to demons. We participate in demonic activity. Okay? So, I'm not going to complete the chapter. I'm going to leave that to you for homework. But I'm going to go a little bit further, because there's some stuff. Paul is so nuts and bolts. You cannot drink the, verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and of the table of demons. Do you see what he's doing? He's saying you can't live with 2 feet in one and the other. Too many Christians are playing this game of wanting to live in their sin and wanting this fellowship with God, and it don't work. Paul just said it right here. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot practice idolatry. Whatever the flavor of idolatry is there, you can't do it. You cannot. Okay, verse 22. Or do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? All things, verse 23, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but not all things edify. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. And I'm going to leave the rest of the chapter for you for homework. Because, again, Paul gives, he gives nuts and bolts. Do you know what the answer to idolatry is? I'm going to tell you what the answer to idolatry is. It's love. When you really love someone, if I really love my wife, I'm not going to be having fantasies about other women. I'm not going to do that because I love my wife. And it says right here, for verse 24, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. The other's well-being. That's like love. And you can't, so in Mexico, when I taught this, I actually taught on Corinthians 12. Because I read 10 and it's like, whoa, yeah, idolatry. I don't want to go there. I don't want to step in this quicksand. I don't want to have the Lord unhappy with me, you know, like he did to Israel and cast my body scattered in the wilderness. No. So I have a question now for you, for me. How do we avoid idolatry? Okay? I want to know. So when I wish Melissa's cousin would have told me about those cows. Well, she didn't. It wasn't until I came face to face I realized they're bigger, stronger than me. They want to tramp me under the into the dirt. Well, I need a way out. We need a way out. So I'm going to go, and we're going to go through this of what Paul, through the Holy Spirit, is going to teach us how to avoid it. Okay? And you know what's interesting? The answer is not very far. If you flip the page, you can flip the page in my Bible. I flip the page to 1 Corinthians 12. Okay, 1 Corinthians 12. I want to make sure I finish on time, so I'm going to have to fly through a lot of this. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1 says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away by these dumb idols, however you were led. Do you see that word idol again? He's writing to the church and he keeps talking about idols. It keeps coming up. But what does he say in verse 1? I don't want you to be ignorant of spirituals. It's the word charisma. We get the word for charismatic. Gifting. I'm going to leave chapter 12. I taught this all in Mexico. But I'm going to leave this as your homework. There's lots of gifts. There's lots of gifts. And the Lord pours gifts onto God's people. And he wants God's people to get these gifts. And, you know, it says here, well, I'm not going to get them all, but I'm going to get what I need so I can be part of the body. Do you remember we were talking about this fellowship, this koinonia? We're one body. You know, we're not these splintered, you know, Mitch and Nina over here, Pastor Cal and Pastor Barbara over here. No. We're one body. We function together. That's why we congregate together. And I'm going to leave this for your homework. Every believer in Jesus Christ has some of these gifts. And everyone is important. You know, when I have a body, and when them cows came at me, I was real glad I had them legs to climb up on that combine. So every one of us has gifts. Okay, I'm not going to dwell too long on this, but I do want you. This is something that was clear as can be this summer. Every one of us, and in Mexico, they totally got this. Every one of us is different, but we got some similarities, right? Right? We all have needs, but you know, even if you take the most identical twins, they're still different. They just are. That's how God made us. We are different. And one of the things that I'm sure Mitch and Nina will nod if I say this, are people in Ohio different than the people in Douglas? There was like no pause. Zero pause. Yeah, I grew up there. And it's like, oh, yeah. Samantha's like, she didn't grow up there. And she's like, Dad, you won't believe what these people are like. But I'm going to tell you something. So one thing I didn't tell you, that family farm that we stayed at was 20 miles from where Mitch Nelson grew up. 20 miles. Can you believe that? And I'm going to tell you something that shouldn't shock you, but it kind of does, that the people in Ohio need the people in Douglas, and the people in Douglas need the people in Ohio. And yeah, sometimes they can drive you crazy, but we kind of need each other. And like I said, that's a whole nother sermon. I'm not even going to go there. Because I married a woman who was like, if we could be like the most opposites, we are. But we need each other. Like in Mexico, it happens all the time. I'm out there talking, preaching, and Melissa's seeing things that I'm not seeing. Like, those guys in the front row look like they wanted to kill you. Oh, I didn't see that. So, diversity is important, really important. We need each other to get through this life even alive. We need to get through this spirit war. We need each other. I need people to have all these giftings I don't have. And, you know, another sermon. But that's huge. I learned that a lot. Samantha's learned that a lot. So how do we avoid idolatry? I'm going to tell you, be around people who have different giftings than you do. They'll save you. Melissa lots of times is like, hey, did you see that? No, I didn't. I'm glad you told me. And again, it's in the spirit. It's in the spirit world. One of the biggest mistakes I've ever seen, like I said, I've seen some of the greatest men of God fall. And one of the things that's been a common thread to these great men of God who have fallen is they surround people who are just like them. And it doesn't work. You kind of need that diversity. Because I can't see, like I said, she's these things I don't see. I'm out there, boop, 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 and she's not understanding what I'm saying, but she's seeing things I don't see. So how do I avoid idolatry? Be around people who have different gifts. Be in the body. Be in the body. Okay? All right, I want to make sure I'm on time. Chapter 12, that's a homework assignment. I'm gonna stop here in 1 Corinthians because I really want to get to Acts and I want to make sure I have enough time. Okay, the other thing is chapter 13, I think all of us know the chapter of love, is you gotta love people. You really do. And I'll be honest, I remember the first time I walked into the prison, I was scared. I didn't know if I could love these guys. They've done bad things. They do bad things. I didn't know. But, yeah, I can. I do. Actually, Melissa, When we walk into this one place in Agua Prieta, there's like 100 people. The women are in front. You go up these stairs, and before we even get to the door, there's like thunderous applause. I mean, I'm serious. Not because I'm as great a pastor, speaking pastor, as Pastor Calvin and Pastor Paul. No. You know why they do it? Because they know I love them. They do. They really know. They know I love them. Okay? So that's another homework assignment for you guys. Read 1 Corinthians 13. All this stuff, you know, Paul says is, you know, you can puff yourself up and you can have all these accolades and you can have all this stuff and abilities, but you don't love people, you're wasting your time. You're just wasting your time. But when you love people, you're going to see things you wouldn't believe. You wouldn't believe. I've seen things, sometimes I don't even believe them. But I see them. She's seen them. She's going to tell. I'm not making them up. Okay, so I'm going to take you to Acts 17 because I want to show you how a great man of God dealt with idolatry. Okay? And I love this man because I work 23 years as an engineer. I like to know how things work. Paul shows you how things work. Okay. We're going to start in verse 16, but I'm going to give you a little bit of background. You know, when Paul does his ministry, typically how he do his ministry is he went to the Jews. He went to his own people, to the synagogue. And then if they didn't receive him, he went to the Gentiles. He went to the marketplace. I like that. I can tell how I do my ministry. Again, this is advice, but it's just how I do. I go to like a rehab, and sometimes we do go to a market square. So anyway, so verse 16, Acts 17, verse 16. I was like getting this backwards in Mexico. They kept having to correct me. No, you just said chapter 17. Chapter 17, verse 16 says, "Now while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within in him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who happened to be there." Okay, I got to tell you, and this is a very short blurb. We spent a lot of time with family. And family, in my opinion, is the hardest people to minister to. They're the hardest people. If they're not believers, they're the most difficult people to minister to. But you still have to say something and pray for the Lord to show you what that is, when that is. I can't even give anyone advice. But Paul did. Did you see verse 1? He was provoked. His spirit was provoked when he saw the idols. Can I tell you something? One time, we took Melissa's parents, they were here visiting Douglas. I took them one of my favorite places in Douglas, Food City. I love that place. And we were walking through, and her mom, she just tuned into, you know, the aisle where they have all those the candles and stuff. She's like, "That's idolatry." She saw it, and it was like, "Oh, yeah, that's what it is." She could see things. A lot of people just pass by and are like, "Oh, yeah." Did you see what happened to Paul? Paul was provoked when he saw idols. Verse 17 said, "Then he did something about it. He went and reasoned with the people, his people and the Gentiles, the people inside and outside his influence." Verse 18. Okay, I'm doing good on time. "Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him. And some said, 'What does this babbler want to say?' Others said, 'He seems to be a proclaimer of foreign gods.
because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection. Did you catch that? That's it. Preach Jesus and the resurrection. It's that simple. Okay? And verse 19. And they took him and brought him to Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine is of what you speak. That word Areopagus, it's the Greek word for Mars Hill. It was a special place where they would gather and talk about stuff. And they also worship full of idols. Okay, I've never been there, never been to Greece. Okay, and it says in verse 20, let me finish 19 again. In the middle of 19 says, may we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak. Can you say an open door? That's an open door. If someone asks you about your faith, that's an open door. I'm going to go through. Sometimes the doors are closed. Actually, I got an email from one of my cousins. I really wanted to see my cousin, but he sent me an email back and says, I'm a gay atheist artist. Whoa, I still want to meet you. And I will. Well, we did meet him, but he doesn't know that he's under prayer. He doesn't know that things are going to happen. That meeting that one time, there's more than that. And he knows who I am. So, okay, strange things to our ears. Verse 21, for all the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear something new. Then Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing him I proclaim to you. Did you see what he just did? He took what they had and used it as a door to go in. So I'm going to tell you, when I was preaching in Mexico earlier this week, in the background was like a Catholic stuff. I didn't focus on that. I told them salvation is through Jesus Christ, through his resurrection. That other stuff, no. I didn't focus on that, but I used it because I used it by saying, oh, if someone says, you know, I'm a Catholic or, you know, whatever the label is, just like Paul, I'll take a common ground. Oh, do you believe in the Bible? Oh, yeah, okay. So that's what Paul's doing. He's using a door to this statue of an unknown God. And you're going to watch one of the most beautiful sermons unfold in front of your eyes. And I got 7 minutes, so it's going to happen. Verse 24, God who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands. Do you see what he just did? He just disarmed idolatry. He just said, God made everything. You know what an idol is? An idol's something that, remember I said it's anything in place between you and God? You know what also an idol does? It lets me be God. If I practice idolatry, it's the first sin. It lets me become God because, you know what? That idol can't speak. That idol can't hear. That idol needs me. What did Paul do? Isn't this beautiful what he did? In one sentence, he said, God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands. God is not manipulated. Those idols that people have, whatever flavor the idol is, people manipulate. Okay? Verse 25 says, nor is he worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, life, breath, and all things. He is disassembling idolatry. Do you see what he just did? He said, he don't need us. That idol can't speak or see. That idol needs me. But what Paul just said is, God in heaven don't need you. He says, he gives you life. He gives all life. Look at verse 26. And he has made everything. Verse 25. Verse 26 says, and he has made from one blood every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined their pre-appointed times and boundaries of their dwellings. Do you remember that verse I read? And I'll let you go back because I want to make sure I finish on time. 1 Corinthians 10, it says, no temptation has befallen you except what is common to man. Do you see what Paul's doing? He's basically saying, we're all like right here. We're all like right here. None of us, idolatry puts us up higher. Paul just leveled the ground and says, God made everyone from one blood on the face of the earth. And what? He has given us these pre-appointed times and boundaries. He has given you basically your life and your influence in these spheres that you have. We haven't done any of that. God gave it to us. Verse 27, so that they should seek the Lord in the hope that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. You know what? Actually, inmates in prison get this verse a lot better than a lot of us do. A lot of sometimes than I do. That God is looking for us. He really is. And he's not mad at us. He's not giving us performance quotas to complete. No, he wants us to have fellowship with him. And I love that part. In Mexico, they got this. He's not far from us. He's like right here. He's like right here. He's not hiding. He's not, we don't have to do all this stuff to get to him. He's right there. Okay, verse 28 says, for in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the divine nature is like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art or men's devisings. Did you just see that? He did the finishing karate chop to idolatry. He said, all this stuff, we're made by God, and all this stuff, this art, and did you see the other words he used? Man's devising. Religion is man's devising. Religion is trying to take God and put him in this comfy little box that we can open and close whenever we want. He don't work that way. So Paul, if you see what he is doing, it's just so beautiful. I mean, it's almost like a gifted musician, when these guys get up here and they just hit the notes exactly right. That's what Paul's doing. Paul's saying, he's God of heaven, he made you. He's saying, and oh, by the way, he really doesn't need you. And oh, by the way, he really wants to know you. And the other part is, you can't contain him because he's God and you're not. Beautiful, beautiful sermon. I love that. Preach like Paul. Preach like Paul. And of course, you got to finish. Verse 30 says, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Do you see that? Repent. I got to repent. You got to repent. Everyone on this earth needs to repent because we're prone to sin. And so he's slicing through. He's already cut the head off of idolatry. Now he's telling us what we need to do. He's saying, God has overlooked that. Can I use the word God's forgiven us? Yeah, he has. He's forgiven us. But he's saying, now let's repent. Verse 31, this is the most powerful verse because he has appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. That's it. God's judgment is true. We can play games. We can play religion. We can fall into idolatry. But in the end of the day, God's going to judge you. He's going to judge me. And if we're not repented, and if we're not one with this, with who? He keeps saying him. He's saying he has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead. Jesus Christ. And I'm over in time. So there's this one little thing. If the answer to the problems in your life is not Jesus Christ, you're missing the answer. It really is. And when we were spending back time with family, I don't know what it is, but there's always these spirits that try to get you off track. Oh, what do you think about this? What do you think about the drug war? What do you think? And you know what I tell them? The answer is Jesus Christ. That's Jesus Christ. Oh, what do you think we should do about this and this? I said, I don't know exactly, but he knows, and the answer is Jesus Christ. People who are saved, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, people who are in fellowship with him, they don't fall into idolatry. They don't. So let me finish. Verse 32 says, and when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, while others said, we will hear you again on this matter. So Paul departed from among them. However, some men joined him and believed, among them Dionysius the Areopagite and a woman named Demarius and others with them. So I'm just going to tell you, and we should all know this, not everyone's going to accept what you have, but that's okay. They still got to know. And Paul, I couldn't have crafted this truly the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, cut the head off of idolatry and said, repent, judgment's coming, believe in the resurrected Lord. That's it. And I'm going to close my Bible. Actually, I got one more verse for you because you got to hear this. This is not just Paul. Remember how I said I took Pastor Calvin's dad's wonderful advice and said, preach like Paul. You know, Paul, remember how I was taking you through these places and they didn't even seem connected, but he kept saying, idols, 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 idols. It's a common theme. So there's another apostle named John, right? One of my all-time favorite books of 1 John. If you ever read 1 John, it's one of those beautiful books written to believers. It gives you assurance of salvation. It gives you, I mean, it's like puts the Bible in 5 chapters. But do you know how he ends? Do you know how John ends that book, that wonderful first book? I'm going to read the verse. 1 John 5:21 says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. I just close my Bible. Keep yourself from idols. Keep yourselves from idols. I've got other verses, but I want to end on time. So I'm not necessarily fearful of idolatry, but I got to watch out for it. Because greater men than me, greater men than Pastor Calvin, greater women than Pastor Barbara have fallen because of idolatry. We all got to watch out for it. But we don't have to live in fear. No, no, no. Paul didn't do that. Paul doesn't say, you know, watch out for this. Yeah, I love him. He says, here, let me take my spiritual sword, and I'm just going to cut the head off of this idolatry and tell you what you should do. Surround yourselves by people who are gifted in the Holy Spirit. Surround yourselves with the love of God. Wow. That's advice you can take and build your life on. You will not go wrong. So let me pray, and then, like I said, sorry, 5 minutes over. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just know that you alone are salvation. We know you alone, Lord Jesus, will keep us free from idolatry. Lord, I ask for a stirring within this body. I ask for a stirring within your people. I ask for, Lord Jesus, that insight in every one of us to keep us from falling into the trap of idolatry. I thank the Lord for a man that you've anointed named Paul. I thank for the man you've anointed named John. But Lord, I'm more thankful for you coming to earth and telling us, showing us, and guiding us, and giving us the power of your Holy Spirit. I ask you to bless this congregation. I ask you to bless your people in this city. I ask you to bless and cover us under the shadow of your wings. Lord, we want to serve you. We want to, when we see you face to face, we want to hear your words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And we pray these things in the glorious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.